Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
I am thrilled to be here today with Sadie Robertson Huff and her husband Christian Huff. How's it going? You guys are an incredible power couple. You guys are a force for God in all that you do. You have a new book coming out that it's like next week. Is it coming out? Is that right? How to Put Love
First? Just came out. So it is out everywhere books are sold. We're so excited.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Multiple books for you, Sadie. This is your first book together as a husband-wife duo.
Yeah.
Yep. It is my first time branching out to become an author.
How was it?
He's cracking me up.
It was great.
He's been loving that he can call himself an author now.
Well, it makes her upset. I keep saying it's something that I've added to my portfolio. And she says, You gotta stop saying that. You gotta start adding
filled with dad jokes, this guy.
That is not a dad joke.
It kind of is.
Whatever.
So what are you most proud of on that portfolio?
Being a husband.
That was good. That was good. Thank you. He just put love first.
Being a father. Well, really, those are the two things I'm most proud of.
That's good, babe.
What are you wanting to add to the portfolio? What feels good?
What would I want to add? Maybe some kind of like Shark Tank entrepreneur kind of inventor.
Really? That was so random. I did not.
Well, I'm just thinking, I don't know. We love watching Shark Tank.
That's true.
Maybe some kind of like cool physical challenge.
That's possibly what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, but I was like, that's super basic. Who's this guy talking about fitness? I don't know.
I did the Amazing Race 2 times where you race around the world and compete to win $1 million.
Okay.
Y'all would be.
Here's the thing.
I think we would be so bad.
Because Sadie is so bad with directions.
Okay,
So am I.
No,
that was
a joke.
You
gotta divide and conquer. You know,
Totally recognize you, and we watched the Amazing Race, and that must be where it's from. But it's so funny because Christian and I, like, there's some shows that we watch where I'm like, I could do that, like Survivor. I could do that. I would love to do that. Amazing Race. I could do it with like my friend, but I just don't know as husband and wife if we could do it because he gets so stressed out traveling and I am like free spirited. I'm like, oh, it's okay. If we miss the flight, we'll catch the next one. What can we do in the airport? You know, let's do something fun. And Christian's like, that's the worst thing ever. So I just feel like we would drive each other crazy at a race around the world.
You would probably get super uptight about flying on the Amazing Race because you get into this fight or flight mode that you can't leave for like a month straight. Maybe, I don't know if you felt that way with Dancing on the Stars or Dancing with the Stars or whatever, but it's like you can't get out of it. Like you have to stay wound up. You have to stay at a 10. you have to stay like looking around the whole time, always trying to find the better solution, always trying to find the quicker way, you know, and you have to like always be wondering, are they an alliance? Are they for me? You just have to be so on it 24/7. Yeah. So you probably might be more of an uptight flyer on the Amazing Race than you think.
Probably would. And we're both super competitive. So that would definitely
play a part. Well,
and then that actually might make us do good because we'd be so competitive. We'd get it done. So now you're talking me into it. We'll see. Maybe you'll catch us on the next season of the Amazing Race.
I think that would crush. I love what you guys are doing and I just have a lot of admiration for it. I have been doing this podcast now for about 7-8 years and I've been in the public eye doing lots of different entertainment stuff for a long time. And I've just always been trying to find my way. I was always just trying to find my way, to find validation, to feel worthy, to feel like I was like worthy of taking up a spot in human existence. You know, I always believed in God. But I always had like a relationship with God, but I really had to get into my human for a long time and really just like live it out and like live egotistically and trying to fill voids with all the man-made things of this world. And at 40 years old now with a daughter who's 4, I've just had, and being in this entertainment industry, my husband's also, he's an artist. He's a country music artist in a band called 1,000 Horses. He's been in it since he was like 15. So it's like we both just have been in this ringer for a long time. And I think you either get to a point where it like completely breaks you and you crumble and you die and you stay there, or it completely breaks you and you realize the only way you can survive in this world is with God. I mean, like truly an active relationship with God. Not just one in theory where you come to him when you're stressed out and you're needing a miracle, but like everyday guidance. And I feel like you guys are doing such a great way of sharing that and leading that. And that is so needed in this dark world. And I just listened to the podcast with your mom that you did about cancel culture. And I'm like, oh my God, cancel culture is running rampant, but cancel culture has no God in it because there's no redemption. You know, it's like you make a mistake. And you're then you have to be punished for the rest of your life. Or maybe it wasn't even a mistake. Maybe just people don't agree with it.
Exactly. You know?
And then you're just canceled. And you just have to live with being canceled and being left at the bottom and thrown out, you know? And that's not of God.
Nope. It's so tough.
I would love to hear your thoughts on this because it's such an important conversation.
Yeah, it's so tough. Well, first off, I love what you said. And I'll never forget, I think I was 17. I think it was probably right around after getting off Dancing with the Stars. And I went to a passion conference. And I do stuff with passion conference now, but this was before I did stuff with them. I was just attending. And I'll never forget, Kristen Kane was speaking. And she said, if the spotlight shining on you is shining brighter than the light coming from within you, the spotlight on you will crush you.
And say that again for the people in the back. Yes. Wait, we got to hear
it
that again.
It was so good. So she said, if the spotlight shining on you is shining brighter than the light coming from within you, that light shining on you will crush you. And I remember sitting there and thinking like, whoa, that's good. And oh my gosh, I'm getting crushed. And because I felt that. I mean, I really felt like I was getting crushed at the time by the spotlight. Like you mentioned, having a lot of eyes on you, being in the public eye, man, it can be tough. And even not that, just living life, being human, it's tough. There's a lot of pressure that comes with just existing, you know? And so it is hard when you have this light shining on you and you're trying to do everything for what pleases the outside world and you're being shaped and morphed by what people want you to be and who you think you're supposed to be and all these different things, but never really being who you are called to be or were actually created to be. And so my whole thing is like live original. We're getting so far away from our original selves. And that's why we don't even recognize ourselves in the mirror because we're becoming what culture has shown us, what culture has told us. And that doesn't feel natural because that's not what we were created for. And so I remember at the time thinking, man, you know, I gotta reposition some things. I gotta step back. And I always say this, at that time, I really did truly feel like everyone knew who I was except for myself. It was like, everyone knows me except for me. Like they seem to have figured out who I am, but I don't know who I am. So I had to figure out who I am. And I found that solely in Christ. I mean, I found who I am and who, God says that I am and who he created me to be and who I was originally made to be. And I, you know, find who I am daily by that same thing, by coming back to Christ, by my redemption story in Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, guided by the Spirit of God to go out and do the things that I'm doing in my life. You said before we got on that we have boldness. I find that boldness in Christ. Before him, I was super anxious. I was like known for anxiety. And I think that's kind of cool because if you read the Bible, in the New Testament, you see like people like Peter, and he was kind of known for his anxiety. He would get afraid in moments, like he would step on the water and he was so bold, and then he'd get so afraid and he'd sink in the water. He'd say, you know, Jesus, I'll never deny you. And then the next day he's denying Jesus. But then fast forward to the next book in the Bible, if you're reading Acts, and it says that Peter was known by his boldness. And so something happened in Peter's life. He no longer was this anxious guy. He was a bold man. Well, what happened? His relationship with Jesus was redeemed. He got the gospel. And that's how I feel in my life. It's like, man, I once was this way. Now I'm this way. The old is gone. The new has come. And so that's why I think I am the way that I am. That's why you are the way that you are. When it comes to cancel culture, you're right. There's no redemption in it. And what a sad thing. And I think that's why people don't live fully who they are, because they're afraid that if they are fully who they are, then people will cancel them because it doesn't agree with the agenda of the world. And so like that cannot be welcome here. But the beautiful thing about us as humans is that we were all individually created in the image of God. We're all different. We are all going to come with a different perspective, with a different view. And that should be welcome, you know? And then I love just the gospel that no one is too far gone for redemption. No one has messed up too far for the love of God and the grace of God to pour over them. So you might be listening to this podcast and I'm on your podcast and thinking, who is this girl? She's talking way too much about the Bible. She's talking way too much about Jesus. And I don't mean to come on here and preach. That's just my story. You know, that's what's changed my life. That's what's, given me new life, and I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And like you said, there, cancel culture really is such a confusing thing, right? It's, I mean, we're doing this Zoom call right now on, we have a MacBook Pro. I don't agree with everything Apple does. You know, us going to Disney World, which is what the podcast you were talking about, because our 2-year-old daughter loves princesses, does not mean we stand for everything that Disney World does. And I think there's just, you know, there's things you get to have common sense in. We were even talking about it because we had a conference the week before and we had posted stuff about baptisms and say they'd gotten unfollowed for about the baptisms for being too Christian. And then a few days later, we're at Disney World, then it's you're too woke. So it's like, it's weird, right? Because you have people looking in and you see Christians bashing you for going to Disney World. And to a non-believer or just to a person who there's no frame of reference for that's confusing. So it just seems so divisive. So for me, there's just so much of cancel culture that, you know, it's just because you wear something or you do something or you go somewhere does not mean that you fully agree with an agenda or whatever. I mean, if you go that way with Disney World, then, you know, Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars and Indiana Everything. Jones and ABC and ESPN. So I'm like, so you're not going to watch any college football this weekend because you don't like Disney? Like, there's just so many things.
It just defeats itself almost. It's like everything is canceled, everything. And that's why, like, as a person, you cannot live for the approval of man or the fear of man. Like, you will never do anything because you go too far this way and you're canceled by this group. You go too far this way and you're canceled by that group. But how boring is it to just stay like doing nothing,
but the people too, people don't know. Right. So like, if we're called to be the light of the world, well, you go to be the light where it's dark. Right. So if you say Disney World's dark or whatever, which there are parts of it that is like, it's, you know, you can look at some of the things and it's definitely not biblical. So from the outside perspective, what if we just got invited to do some seminar at Disney World about faith or whatever? But no one on social media knows that. So here we are at Disney World and you just see it from this zoomed out lens of we're at a castle at Disney World, which is, dark and depraved or whatever. But yeah,
well,
you don't
for those
know,
listening,
but,
though, they might not understand because Disney World is not dark. Disney World is the most magical place in the world, right? But what he's referring to are what Disney as a company stands for, and those things are not biblical. So he's not saying a castle is dark.
No,
he's
I'm not saying that. I'm saying
what it represents. People get frustrated at thinking that if you spend money towards Disney, then you are basically agreeing with what the company stands for. And so that's kind of where this is coming from. As you can tell, we've gotten passionate about this conversation because
I think it's great. I really do. And it's because we live in a fallen world, and it's like nothing is all the way good and nothing is all the way bad. And some things may be blatantly terrible, you know, and, but it's just like you guys were saying, it eventually all just collapses in on itself because everything is false advertising. Everything is false marketing. All the food that we're eating is being advertised as being healthy, and it has tons of terrible things in it. And I think your mom said this at the end of that podcast, the people who are complaining about this and writing mean, awful things and unfollowing are on Instagram, which is the darkest place of it all, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on, what do we do here?
My mom was laughing because people on Instagram were hating on her for doing a show with Facebook and saying how terrible, how could you do something with Facebook, not realizing that they're on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, same people. And so, you know, it's just, you got to follow your own convictions and not judge other people for what their convictions are. It doesn't make you any more holy than the next person to have or to not have Instagram. And that's really my point of the podcast that I made, is that, look, I am not, you know, defined by the places I go or the rooms that I'm in. I mean, if you, again, going back to the Bible, Jesus sat at the table with sinners. Did that make him a sinner? No, he sat there with them, but he was fully holy, even in a place that sin was. But the Pharisees at the time would say, no, you can't be dwelling amongst the sinners because that makes you unclean. And he goes, Jesus is saying, no, it's not where I'm at that makes me holy. It's who I am that makes me holy. And so in the same way for me, that's what I believe. It's not where I'm at. It's not the shoes that I wear. It's not the building I'm in that makes me holy or not holy. It's who I am. And so I think when it comes to cancel culture too, for those listening, like, don't fear, you know, if you have a fear of the Lord over fear of man, it's such a great way to live, because whether people like me or they don't, it doesn't shape who I am. If everyone in the world cancels me, it doesn't make me feel less loved. Why? Because I don't find my love and my worth in people. I find it in God. If everyone in the world disagrees with me or hates me or says whatever about me, it's like, look, if I'm canceled, that's not what I'm here to live for, is people. I have my family who loves me. I have God. I have a great life, you know. And I think so many people, they find so much of their identity in their followers and so much of their identity in their platform, so much of their identity in their social status, that canceling them would mean everything would be taken away. So just an encouragement to you, you know, if your identity is wrapped up in something that can be taken away, then you might want to consider where your identity lies. And I think that that's something that we all need to really ask ourselves, because if we could be confident in our identity and who we are and know that, you know, it's not going to change if I get canceled or if people unfollow me, then you would be a lot more likely to live boldly for what you truly believe in.
So true. That is so true. I feel that it's just, like, just so we can wrap this up and we can get into something else, because I do want to talk to you about two different parts of this conversation. One is, we're missing the redemption. We're missing the whole point of learning. Like, it, when you teach your kid, you know, when you're teaching your kid and they make a mistake and they do something terrible, you don't yell at them, scold them, and leave it right there. You finish it. There's a whole next part that's the most important part, where you come back around love. And then you teach the message, and then they get to repair, and then they get to learn. And that's the part that we're missing in society right now, I feel like, is like, we're stopping in the, you made a mistake, you're terrible, and not, that's where you live. We're missing the whole part that's the most healing part, that transforms the world, that is going to save the world. We're stopping in the hate and the mistake. And like, here I am, I'm a grown woman, 40 years old, and I just handled a situation with a peer and a colleague terribly the other day, like terribly. I made such a bad mistake. I handled it so poorly. I reacted. I got into fight or flight mode. I did all these things that I've worked so hard not to do, but I did them. And I'm like here really trying to preach a message of love and goodness in the world. And I fell short, and I was like, oh my God, what a reality check for me, you know, mm-hmm. to realize that everyone is having that happen. It's going to happen to everyone. We're going to have a human moment. We're going to fall short. And so it's like, yep. if we can't allow forgiveness, then how are we ever going to heal? And I just feel like that we're missing God. Like God has to make a comeback. And so you guys preaching it from the rooftops, and I feel like I'm just now stepping into the spot where I'm really feeling like that's my center stage now. I used to be so worried to like get canceled and not want to, you know, upset this person yeah. or upset that person. But it's like the only way you can truly live and have a great life of joy and purpose is to have God in the center and to forgive mm. and to like finish these and I was the same way, because you also mentioned this, like people can be so turned off because someone's so holier than thou, and they like have some, there's even some character in the Bible that's like, he's like so religious and righteous that people are like turned off by him. And then there's Jesus, mm-hmm. who's hanging out with the sinners. So it's like, you're either too holy, you're too woke, you're whatever, or you're too bad. But yet we all have that spectrum in us, and it's going to fluctuate for all of us. And the pillars of God and Jesus in the Bible, it's like, it's not too Bible beater, because honestly, those are the messages that you're learning, the pillars that will give you true happiness.
Yep.
So that's a long-winded explanation of this, but I also want to just kind of dive into, you said you had a moment where you went from having all this anxiety, kind of being of the world, feeling like the spotlight was so much brighter than your light and it was crushing you, to having that switch. And I feel like I'm in the middle of that switch right now, where I'm going from feeling like I had God in my life, but really kind of being overpowered by the world and my own ego and insecurities, to now switching it to being like, oh my God, I am here for God, and I can feel the difference.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years, and not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Can you explain the difference of that in like people who haven't found true faith yet, who aren't really understanding why people are so crazy about God and feel like it's more of a mm-hmm. punishment to have God? Because like God can feel punishing the way some people describe him. So what is the difference? What is the freedom of it's having good. God?
It's great. So I'll go two places. So first of all, one of the best verses in the Bible, in my opinion, is when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So why is that significant? For a couple of reasons. I feel like you said earlier, like, I'm just trying to like find my way. I was trying to find my way for so long. Well, so many people feel that way. How am I going to find my way in this world? There's so many directions I can take. I feel lost. Well, right here, Jesus, I am the way. Okay, that's good. Now I have a way. Okay, and then he says, I am the truth. Well, that is like the best thing ever, because in a world that is filled with so many ideas of my truth, your truth, this truth, that truth, except for what I always say is that the thing that makes a truth powerful is that it's true, right? So it's no longer powerful if everybody can have their own truth, you know? It's no longer powerful if truth can change, then it's not truth. Truth is supposed to stay the same. And so I love that Jesus says, I am the truth. This is a never changing thing. This is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Bible says about God. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Wow, that's amazing. How awesome is it that we're still talking about this book that was thousands of years ago written, and the truth still applies to today's time? I mean, even that in and of itself is remarkable, right? It's still applicable. Okay. I'm the truth. That's great. I am the life. Okay. Well, that is like the best thing ever, because that's what we all desire, is life and life to the full. That's what God says. I have come to give life and life abundantly. Well, that's what I want. I want life and life abundance. So Jesus, you seem to be a pretty good option if you're the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father except through you. Well, who's the Father? God. You mentioned that people view him as more of a punishment, but God, who he is love. I mean, that's literally what we talk about in this devotional book. 1 John, it says, God is love. You don't know love unless you know God. So the Father is love. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. We can even stop there. There's more to go on, but even just love, that's what we all desire. Peace in an anxious world. Don't we all want that? Joy in a depressed world. Don't we all need that? And so if you look around and you say, man, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I don't have any peace in my life, I don't have a direction for my life. Well, here's an answer for you. Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father. No one gets to that ultimate version of love, that true peace, that true joy, except through me. And so for me, it doesn't feel, it's the opposite of a punishment. It's life to come to the Father. It's an awakening of who you were created to be, of the direction of life you're taking. It's actually hope that, thank God, this is not it. Thank God, this world is not the extent of my life, that there's an eternity to go with in heaven with the Father that I'm in relationship with. And so for me, it's like, it's life, it's joy, it's peace, it's hope, it's forgiveness, it's redemption. This is the best story ever. I mean, this is truly good news. So people say, you know, why do you talk about it all the time? Why would I not? I'm looking around at a world that's drowning in depression and suicide and anxiety and lack of hope and lack of purpose and lack of sense. And I'm like, hello, why would I not be talking about the answers that I found, you know? And so you ask how that shifted for me, that time when I went from one way to the other. So, you know, I was on Dates with the Stars and it was awesome. And it was super fun, hard and challenging and all the things, and literally gained 1 million followers in a month. So it was like, went from having somewhat of a following to then having a rather large following in the span of really just a month or two. And so I remember I had like 1.8 million followers, and that just felt crazy to me. That just felt
scary.
Yes, it was scary. It felt super overwhelming.
And super exposed, you know, like so many people are seeing everything.
Yes. And so all of a sudden it was like my life changed. And then I moved back to my small town and like tried to just go back to high school and play basketball. And I mean, it was crazy. Like we had so many fans showing up to every game that I played. They'd wait outside my locker room. I mean, my whole life just changed. And it just felt kind of empty. I felt kind of mad about it. I just kind of wanted my life back. And I felt like so many other people would be glad to be in this position and to be quote unquote famous. I, however, did not want that. And I just felt like, okay, now what do I do with this? And so I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll start acting. I mean, that seemed like maybe the next step after Days with Stars. I was getting a lot of acting opportunities, and it would just be like time after time where I would get the script and it would be like a huge movie, but it would be something that didn't align with my morals, and it just felt empty. And it was like these things that should have maybe been exciting to me, but they just didn't feel exciting to me because it just didn't, it wasn't really what I wanted to do, and it didn't really feel like who I am. And so I
went to. Did you know who you were yet, though? Or was this the uncovering of it?
No, this was the uncovering of it. So I would say, like, no. And then I'd be like, why did I say no? Even though I'm like,
I guess it just told
me. Align with my moral. Yeah. And now I know that was the Holy Spirit kind of, that was discernment, you know, of no, I don't want to do that because that's actually not the path that I'm going to take. And this is not, like, if your path is acting, I think that's awesome. That just wasn't for me. And so I went to the summer camp, and this woman was preaching. I'd never seen a woman preach before. And she was just like going for it. And everything she was saying, it's kind of things that I'm saying today, just about who God is. And it was so inspiring to me. And first of all, what she was saying was completely hitting me, because it was giving me purpose and where I'm at. It was giving me life. It was like, yes, I need this message. But then second thing that hit me was how she was saying it. I thought, man, I want to be able to be confident enough in what I'm saying. But I realized, like, I can only be confident in what I'm saying if I know what I'm saying is actually good. Mm. If what I'm saying is actually life, you know,
which I realized.
That, like, man, I can be confident in the Bible because this book has never changed in thousands of years, and it's still the same, and it's still applicable, and it's still truth. That is like the beauty of truth. And so then I go, okay, this might be what I'm supposed to do. I'll never forget. I went down altar call, like went down to the front and was just so impacted and just was like, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. And I remember, I've never heard the voice of the Lord audibly. Okay. I'll say that right here. No. When I say I heard the Lord say, I didn't hear audibly. It was kind of an impression in my heart where I felt like for the longest time I had been saying, like, God, why did you like let me be famous? I don't want to be famous. And I felt like the Lord said, I'm not calling you to be famous for the sake of being famous. I'm calling you to be a sister and a friend to those who don't have one. And you know what is so cool? 10 years, that was 10 years ago. That's still the heartbeat of everything I do. Do I not say that? Oh, I mean, at least once a week, I say, I'm just trying to be a sister and a friend to those who don't have one. I just want to be a good sister and a friend. So every video I start, hey, friends, what's up? My Monday podcast is called Sisters and Friends. Like, that's just what I'm doing. And it gave me direction, and it wasn't a step 1, 2, 3. It wasn't, okay, now do a podcast. No, it was just have the heart of being a sister and a friend. And how am I going to do that? Well, I'll do it through writing books. I'll do it through a podcast. I'll do it through showing up to college campuses and meeting with girls and different things like that. And that just kind of, it just gave me new direction. It gave me new vision. It gave me like the path that I was about to go down. And man, it was so helpful for me. I'll finish that with this. Mr. Rogers has this quote, and it says, fame is just a 4-letter word like tape or Zoom or face. What ultimately matters is what you do with it. And I love that so much, because I think a lot of people, you know, you might stumble upon fame. You might stumble upon influence. But what is influence if you're not influencing people for good, right? What is fame if you're not doing something with the fact that you're famous? And, you know, everyone has influence, no matter if you have a blue check or not, whether if you have millions of followers or 10, you know, you have the ability to influence someone. I always think about me being in that room that day with 2,000 high school students, and this woman preaching a message to what she thought was 2,000 high school students. But one high school student in there said, I hear that message. I'm going to take that message. And now, since then, I've preached that message to millions of people. So her influence on one high school student has now influenced millions of people. So you just never know what your voice in your life is going to do and the impact it can make.
I love that. And Christian, I know in the book, I read it at one of the pages that you, one of the, what is it? Like, it's a devotional each
devotional.
Day. I read one of the devotionals and you were talking about this. And I know you're just talking about this because this moment, and I'm going through this at the same time. It's like being of the world, feeling all the pressures of the world. And you were saying at one time, Christian, you were of the world and like living not fully for God. And now you guys both are so aligned with this, but what is the difference? And I would love to hear from both of you guys in your own life perspective. What is the difference? Because not just saying, okay, now I'm going to live for God and that's my focus and purpose, but there's a feeling that comes with it. There's a new freedom. There's a true love that comes with it. There's a guidance, an internal guidance. Like you're saying, like, now you're going to write now you're going to do a book. That stuff flows from a higher place, and you can tell when it's from the higher place because it flows easy and it's effortless and it all feels in line with your purpose. But yeah, it's hard work, but it's like hard work you're supposed to do. What is the feeling, the difference of living with all the anxiety, which you guys both have, being crushed by the spotlight of being a human and trying to maintain being a human, not getting canceled, making sure everyone's happy, doing everything right, or covering up for your mistakes because you don't even want to see your shame or whatever anyone's dealing with who's listening to this podcast. When you're trying to manage all those human feelings and expectations and shames and burdens and traumas or whatever, when you're just trying to manage them on your own and present fine and well, so the world will accept you. That's a totally different life than when you are living for God. And since we all, I feel like, in some way have lived on both sides of that line,
right?
What is the feeling that is different? Because I'm all about a feeling, like, give me words all day, but like, I want the results. Mm-hmm. So like, why is, who's someone who has not yet crossed the line over to the side where you guys are actually feeling God in you? Mm-hmm. What is that difference, and why, like, what is that difference? Because once you know the difference, you can never go back to the other way, because you felt the other way. But like, what is that feeling difference if someone hasn't felt it?
I love it.
That's good. And
if someone's listening to this, they say, who's the Holy Spirit? So when Jesus left and ascended to heaven, he said, it's actually better that I leave, because my Father is going to send you the Spirit, which is going to be your advocate, which is going to be within you. And it's going to help you navigate through life. It's
so
going to
help. Before Jesus died, I might be having a big moment right here. Before Jesus died, no one had the Holy Spirit in them.
No one had the Holy Spirit. So back in the day, before
Jesus died, and then we all got the Holy Spirit in us.
So the reason Jesus died, if you go back to the Old Testament, so story of the Bible, God created everything, heavens and the earth. He created man in his image. And in the very beginning, we as in man was dwelling in the garden with God, with the Father. I mean, it says he was walking in the garden, like he could hear them. I mean, they were together in communion. Well, then man sinned. We fell short of the glory of God. And because when Eve ate the apple from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was also the tree of life. And so God, in his loving kindness, said, you're going to have to be removed from this garden, because I don't want you to live in sin forever. There has to be some kind of redemption, because now you know good and evil. You are not capable of being perfectly holy like God is. And so we got to remove you from the garden. Now, here's what happened. The whole Old Testament is man trying to be in relationship with God. And so what do? They have to go to the temple of God, where God dwells.
Because they're so close to God. They know that God was real. Yes. They know that they were in the garden. They're very aware that God is real, whereas now we've kind of forgotten that God's real.
No, exactly. They knew God was real. So they're trying to be in relationship with him. So they're going to the temple where he dwells, but you can only go to the temple if you're holy, because you can't stand in front of a holy God and not be holy, or you would literally die. And that's what you see in the Old Testament. So then God's saying, this is not working. Man cannot be holy. So what did he do? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. So back in the day in the Old Testament, where they would have to make sacrifices in order to be cleansed enough to go into the temple to be in presence of God, Jesus came as the ultimate sacrifice, as our sacrifice, and his blood covers all of us to be clean enough to be in the presence of a holy God. But now we don't have to go to a temple to be in relationship with God, because God sent his Spirit to dwell within us.
So we feel it. And that's like our gut instinct.
That's what you feel.
Okay, can I simplify this for people who are not of the Christian world?
Yes.
Because I feel like I just had a big moment here.
Yes.
That they're always like, well, God sent his Son and that's what saved the world. I'm like, what does that mean? Okay, so that's what that means. Okay, so now when he died, now that thing inside of us that is our inner guidance, that is your gut instinct, that is your intuition, that is what we now have because Jesus died, instead of just being in one person that we're supposed to follow. That's why we get to follow our internal guidance system. But what's happening is people now have forgotten about God, and instead of following their internal guidance system and their gut instinct and what they feel is right and true, they're following their like man-made God image of themselves.
Feelings
and what can give them a quick happiness quick or a quick boost of like, you know, a jolt of serotonin or some sort of like shot that like makes you feel like alive. But that's just your man-made God ruling the way, trying to satisfy your impulses and your feelings. You're not listening to your higher internal guidance system that we all have access to. And you really 100%. Have to learn how to listen to that. And that's how you, and then you said too, Christian, when you're talking about this, it's the applying of the faith. Like once you have started applying this into your life and like listening to your internal guidance system, and your internal guidance system, which is God, well, it will stop me in my tracks. Like if you
take the
time to listen to it, it will make you feel sick. It will make you want to throw up. It will make you feel like you need to like, you're hyperventilating, having anxiety. Heart palpitations, a lot of physical things happen when you are not listening to your internal guidance system, which is God. So that is really simple. And then once you decide, because maybe, like we've talked about, you've tried so many other things in the world because it's so confusing to be born right into this world, especially now when we're so far from God, just have leaving. Like, it seems like in the Old Testament, people were very aware there was God. They were just living in confusion and chaos because they didn't know how to do it because God was no longer there to guide them. They were out of the garden of perfection. And so now they're just like wandering, being total sinners. This is making so much more sense to me.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
And now we've gotten so far from knowing that God was here and people are just trying to be their own God. And
yes.
So you're living, people are living in all these things you're mentioning, like depression, anxiety, fear, shame, because we've forgotten that there is a way and a light and that it's bigger than us and that we're all here to have like a godlike experience on this earth in a physical form. But yet it's not about us as this physical person. It's our higher message. We just get to live it out in a physical body. Right?
100%. You're right on. So whenever you say, when does that switch happen? When the switch happens is when you receive the Holy Spirit as your guidance. You're no longer living in your headspace. You're
that
living.
That felt scary to me too, because I felt like you had to like open your mouth and a force had to come in. You know, scary to me. Like a ghost had to enter my body. Like I'm receiving the Holy Spirit. But really what you're doing is you're just activating. You're deciding to listen to your internal guidance system. That's the receiving. You're just deciding to listen.
Yes. So when you believe that Jesus, you know, Christ came and he died a death on the cross, he was risen back to heaven. One day he will return and take us all back up. When you receive Jesus, then you receive that Holy Spirit, because it says, through Jesus being the way of truth life, you can have access to the Father. Well, access to the Father is access to the Holy Spirit. And so when I mentioned Peter, he once was anxious, now he's bold. What happened in between that? Well, in Acts 2, Pentecost, the Spirit came upon him. And so you see when the Spirit came, this man was totally different. Paul, same way. So Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, once was Saul killing Christians. But when he had an encounter with Jesus, not only did he stop murdering Christians, he became the pioneer of the church and literally wrote basically the whole New Testament. And so when you talk about cancel culture, it doesn't have God attached to it, not at all, because the culture of the kingdom is completely opposite of cancel culture. It's saying, look, you do have a past. You were crazy. You were off. You
still will make mistakes.
A sinner. Yes. But now you're found. Now you're walking with the guidance of my Spirit. You're still going to make mistakes and I'll convict you for that. You'll feel that conviction.
Yes.
But
then
what do? When you feel
you
like
make it right.
Yes. You don't shame yourself, because there's no shame. You just make it right. You repent. You confess. Ooh. You turn back.
That's so good. I mean, I'm living in that spot right now where I made a mistake and I felt so much shame and like I didn't know what to do. I kind of spiraled for a minute and then I was like, no, I listened to my conviction and my conviction told me exactly what to do. And that's God saying, you made a mistake, but here's the answer, you know? And then you just do it.
And that's the feeling. Like you said, with your friend, like there's so many things in life that that you do make a bad decision in. Like if we have an argument and one of us says something and it's like, oh man, like I shouldn't have said that. But you have something reminding you that you shouldn't say that, right? Which like for you, maybe I don't really know much of your story before that, but like for me, 10 years ago, if I would have said something rude, I probably wouldn't have been like, felt bad about it because I was
You just living... would have tucked it and moved on and been like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But now it's like, there's something in me that I can't deny that, like that feeling of conviction to where I have to say something, whether it's apologize, ask for forgiveness, try to reconcile it. Like, because if you truly have the Holy Spirit in you, like you can't just, you know, move on from things. It's like, there's so many applicable things like that.
Yes.
Like if getting drunk, I used to get drunk. It's like, no, I didn't really feel bad for it. But it's like now I haven't drank in like 7 years, but if I were to get drunk, I wouldn't be like, oh, well, whatever. Like, because there's something in me helping me be like, no, that's,
it's
you
not
shouldn't
best for
do
your
that.
Life.
Like,
yes.
That's not like, that's, hmm. That's not, it's not what I'm calling you to do.
And so you have to reprogram what you thought you knew about God, because some of you think, oh, well, I can't get drunk. That's like you saying that you're restricting me, that I can't have fun, that I can't do that. It's like, no, because that's not good for you. You know, because like drunkenness, it doesn't mean you can't drink. You can drink. Just don't get drunk is what the Bible says. I mean, Jesus would drink wine, but he said, don't get drunk, you know? And so
because when you get drunk, you black
yes,
out. You don't
exactly.
have awareness of what you're doing. You make bad mistakes. You hurt yourself. You can hurt someone else. You could have infidelity. You could kill someone in a car. You say things that you don't mean. But when you're drinking a little bit, it could loosen you up and maybe you could have a really powerful conversation and camaraderie with friends. When you take it too far, you can really damage yourself and others. And that's what the Bible's doing. It's protecting you. It's not like
not rule book
and ruling you and scolding you. It's saying, I'm here to protect you. And I'm putting these rules and these commandments or whatever in place because they actually are going to give you the life, a true, meaningful, purposeful, joyful life. It's the only way you're going to get it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what it is. And we also do on the flip side of that, we do have an enemy that, you know, Satan, who does want to keep you trapped in that.
Which, like
that,
by the way, he's more center stage than ever these days. Like, people are throwing evil around, like, in the entertainment industry in the world, like, evil is forefront. That's why I feel like more than ever, I feel convicted to be a light, because it's like, you can't not shine the light. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're great. Well, I'm just like, for drunkenness, for instance, like, if you look at that, the morning after, you typically feel awful. No one really wakes up after a crazy night. It's like, oh, let's do it again. But somewhere throughout the day, something in you is like, let's go do it again. And like, that's because it's like, that's just sin. It's you being just convinced by something that, hey, no, like that actually was fun. You should go do it again. Like, because it's evil. It's
chasing
the enemy.
Chasing a quick hit.
But then if you ultimately sit with yourself for a second and say, is this really life? You know, the Bible talks about how there's two paths. There's a path of life and there's a path of death. And, you know, there, what Jesus is doing, and he's leading you on that path of life. The Holy Spirit says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're leading me and guiding me to the path of life. What we tend to do as sinners is we're walking on that path of death, not even realizing it, you know? And of course, you know, the enemy is subtle with things at times, but right
and
now
the
it
enemy
seems
is
to be very
sexy. The enemy isn't like it, he the enemy gets you. I mean, it's
he will get you. It is. I mean, there's a reason why Eve fell for an apple. I always think about that. Think about that. It was an apple that was not that, like, apples are not that good,
sexy.
You know, it's not that great. But at the time, in a garden where it was like the one thing she couldn't have, and it was this beautiful apple, then all of a sudden it's like, well, I can so relate, because there's apples in my life that I'm like, now looking back, I'm like, it was just a stupid apple. But at the time, it looked like the best dang apple you've ever seen in your life, you know?
And you couldn't have it. So you had to get it.
And you can't have it. So you got to get it. It's the same story since Genesis 1. And since that's why I love the Bible. You know, you could read an article from a magazine that was out last year and it has no relevance to today because it wasn't anchored in truth. You can read this book that was written thousands of years ago and it's still exactly what we face today because it's true.
Well, it is. I mean, go read Proverbs or Ecclesiastes.
Oh,
it's the most relatable, practical advice ever. And it was written thousands and thousands of years ago.
It's so cool. But anyways, this conversation is really cool. And I love what you're saying. Like, it's very true. I think there was a time in Christianity where you could kind of you know, skirt by being lukewarm. I mean, biblically, no.
They talk about never being lukewarm.
Yes, but in the world, it's like, oh, well, you know, I can kind of believe in God and I can kind of be in the world. But I feel like right now we're in this time and culture where the world, like the entertainment industry, is getting so dark that it's like, actually, like, I have to be a light. Like, I have to. I can't just like post anymore.
It's a responsibility. Honestly, it is spiritual warfare. And like, it is. You cannot let the dark take over. If the light's too scared to shine because of all these fear tactics that are in place, then the darkness will take over. And you know what else it all involves? It involves, and you were mentioning this with like drunkenness and all the things. It's like, it involves taking accountability and responsibility for your life. And if that is not what people want to avoid at all costs, is being fully accountable, being accountable when you mess up, being accountable when you say something wrong or have shame, or like being accountable and like looking at the hard parts of your life and the trauma and realizing that you got to heal that and like learn, work through these hard, awful things, looking at your wiring, looking at your upbringing, looking at your mindset, what's going on that's not working. Like, you got to take a hard look at these things. And then you have to be accountable and make changes. And when you feel it in your gut and you're convicted, you have to answer that conviction. You have to do the right thing. You have to say the apology. You have to change your lifestyle, get sober, whatever you have to do in that moment. You have to make these hard choices for the betterment of your life and the world. And that's hard. People don't want to do that, especially now.
It is hard. It is hard. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, you got to ask yourself. I asked this question the other day when I was speaking at a college. I said, you know, I'm not going to sit here, preach this to you. I'm just going to ask you a question. Is the way that you're living your life actually leading you to where you want to go? And I think that ultimately, if you can answer that question, then you'll probably, at the end of that, desire to get on the right path, because you'll be like, actually, no, like, I do want that love. I do want that joy. I do want peace. I do want those things. And like, the way I'm living right now, it's not leading me to that. Or maybe it's simple things. It's like, man, I want to get married one day, but I'm living in like no way that represents someone who wants to get married. Or I want to be a good mom one day, but the way I'm living right now is not a good example that I would be to my future daughter or future son. So like, I think sometimes you got to think like, who do I actually want to become? Well, then I need to start living like who I want to become. And I think, you know, for some people, that just might be a good question to ask yourself today. Is the way that I'm living actually leading me where I want to go? Is the things that I'm a part of, the people that I follow, the friend group that I'm in, the ways that I'm living actually getting me where I desire to go? And if it's not, and you say, I don't know how to get there, but I want that, that might be a good time to invite Jesus in and let that Holy Spirit guide you to that path of life.
I love that. And I'll wrap up really quickly. I know you guys have so much to do. How to Put Love First, your book, it's out now. It's an amazing devotional written from you guys. What is your hope with this book? What are you hoping to accomplish? What is your mission?
It's good. I think, you know, ultimately it's what we have been talking about this whole time. It's how to put love first is essentially saying how to put God first. Because if God is first in your life, then love will flow into every relationship in your life. Because if you are in relationship with the source of who love is, then that will shape who you are. That will shape how you act in the world to the people around you. And so we are trying to preach the message of, look, you could have everything that the world has to offer that looks like love and not feel the feelings of true love. But if you have God, and you might not have any of those things, you might not have the teddy bear on Valentine's Day, you might not yet have the ring on your finger, you might not be on The Bachelorette, but you have God, you have love, and you have all that you need. And so hopefully it helps people find God, and hopefully it helps people be filled with that love.
I love that. Last question, super quick. I know y'all got to run. Leave Your Light. I always wrap up with, what do you want people to know? I know this whole podcast is what you want people to know, but if you were going to put it in a quick little statement, what do you want people to know?
What do I want people to know? That's so good. Well, I'll go to this because I think this is important. The Word of God says, you are the light of the world. And I think that that is something that we shouldn't take lightly, that you are the light of the world. And so, friend, if you're worried about how dark the world's getting, the encouragement to you is that you are the light. And so start to shine your light, be the light in the world. We actually can make a difference in this world by being the light of the world. And so just a reminder that you have what it takes to make this world better. I think that that's something that we forget sometimes.
Yes. And then I was just pulling it up because I know the verse. I just did not want to botch it. But I just love John 15:5 just because for me, I'm just such a visual learner. And Jesus just says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." And just this idea of, you know, we've talked about this idea of the fruits of the Spirit a lot on this podcast, and this idea of if I'm tethered to God, like we're talking about in this book, How to Put Love First, if I'm in relationship with God, then there are going to be things that are produced in me that are fruit. So just to challenge somebody listening, you know, are you attached to the vine? Are you in communion with God? And I think if you're not, you can maybe see why your life is not marked by all these good things that that we talked about, because by our natural selves, we can't really produce all those things just because we're fallen people. And even being in a relationship with God, those things are all still super difficult, which is what we talked about. That's why it takes daily repentance and surrender and obedience, because, you know, we live in a world where we all crave love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and gentleness, and self-control is a huge one. I mean, not a lot of people have self-control anymore. And I think if you want to attain those things, then you have to be in relationship with God, and you have to be attached to that vine, and you have to just abide in him. It's just that if you abide in him, that you will bear much fruit. And I'm just trying to bear fruit and just be attached to him. So
amen. I appreciate this podcast. I appreciate this message, How to Put Love First, y'all's devotional. It's out. Sadie Robertson Huff, Christian Huff, amazing power couple. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Thank you for what you're doing. And for everyone listening, let's follow this bold lead and put God in our life and shine bright so the world doesn't get darker. It needs to get brighter. Y'all are awesome. Thank you guys. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. You're awesome. You did great. I love the journey you're on, and I love just your honesty and how real your podcast is. It's awesome.
Get real, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But it truly is like so real. Like it was just like, and I love that you just welcomed us to be who we are and just talk about it all. So thank you. That was awesome.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.